from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo downstreaming program is facing resistance and political risk. President Joko Widodo companies could prefer hiring freelancers in gig economy. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that Indonesia is facing resistance from developed countries as well as political risk over its natural resources downstreaming program. While opening the 22nd Congress of the Indonesian Economic Bachelors Association ISEI and the 2024 ISEI National Seminar in Surakarta Central Java on Thursday, he observed that developed countries usually tend to hinder downstreaming efforts made by developing countries. He also recalled when his government took over Freeport, which is located in the highland of Tembagapura Mimika, Central Papua Province. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Thursday highlighted the gig economy phenomenon and its potential to become an economic trend in the future, where companies prefer to recruit freelancers. He delivered the remarks at the 22nd Congress of the Indonesian Economic Bachelors Association and the 2024 ISEI National Seminar in Surakarta, Central Java on Thursday. The event was followed online from Jakarta on the Presidential Secretariat's channel. According to President Joko Widodo, such an economic trend could lead to companies giving preference to workers with short-term contracts, such as freelancers, to cushion the impact of ongoing global economic uncertainty. The tourism and creative economy sector has recorded positive growth ahead of the government transition, according to the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Angela Tanu Sudipyo. Based on the ministry's data, Indonesia has recorded 7.75 million international tourist arrivals and more than 598 million domestic tourist visits as of July 2024. Meanwhile, foreign exchange earnings have reached $7.46 billion, with the added value of the creative economy estimated at 749.58 trillion rupiah, or around $49.3 billion. Let's move on to the international news, where two people from Taiwan companies were questioned as part of the probe into pagers that exploded while being used by Hezbollah operatives in Lebanon, investigators said on Friday, as top officials insisted the device were not from the island. Questions and speculation have swirled over where the devices came from and how they were supplied to the militant group after hundreds of pagers and walkie-talkies detonated across Lebanon on Tuesday and Wednesday, killing at least 37 people and wounding nearly 3,000. The New York Times reported this week that Israel had inserted explosive materials into a shipment of pagers from Taiwan's Gold Apollo, citing American and other anonymous officials. But Gold Apollo head Su Ching-Kwang denied producing the devices. The United States on Thursday warned all parties in the Middle East against escalation as tensions between Iran-backed Lebanese movement Hezbollah and Israel remain high, saying Washington's priority is to find a diplomatic solution. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller told the regular briefing, "The Middle East is on edge after deadly attacks that blew up radios and pagers of militant group Lebanon-based Hezbollah, killing 37 people and wounding around 3,000 in overwhelming Lebanese hospitals and wreaking bloody havoc on the group." While calling for calm, Miller acknowledged the limits of U.S. diplomacy. Fears of wider Middle East conflict mount following deadly pagers explosion in Lebanon. Iran tells Hezbollah's chief Israel will face crushing response after Qom's attack. Roads and neighborhoods in Shanghai flooded on Friday as ninth Chinese megacity was battered by its second typhoon in a week, with rainfall breaking local records in parts of the city. Typhoon Bulasan comes days after the strongest storms to hit the megacity since 1949, Bibinca, caused extensive damage on Monday. Bulasan made landfall on Thursday night with a maximum wind speed of 83 kilometers an hour, according to the state-run Xinhua News Agency. The city evacuated 112,000 people, Xinhua said, as some ferry and train services were suspended. The Singapore Red Cross is expanding its aid efforts to communities affected by Typhoon Yagi and the southwest monsoon to include Myanmar. This comes as part of a larger region-wide efforts to assist communities severely impacted across Southeast Asia, it said in a media release on Friday. At least 293 people in Myanmar have been killed by Typhoon Yagi, with state media reporting that nearly 270,000 acres of rice paddies and other crops has been destroyed by floods. The floods and landslides triggered by Typhoon Yagi have affected nearly 6 million children across Southeast Asia, the UN said on September 18. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on UN General Assembly adopts resolution to end Israeli occupation of Palestine. The United Nations General Assembly on Wednesday adopted a resolution demanding that Israel end its unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory within 1 year. The resolution was approved by 124 countries, including Indonesia, while 14 others voted against and 43 abstained. It came in response to a ruling by the United Nations top court in July that said Israel's presence in the Palestinian territory was unlawful and must end. The resolution calls on Israel to comply with international law and demands the withdrawal of all its troops from the Palestinian territory. In addition, Israel must also stop all new settlement activities and begin evacuation of settlers from the occupied Palestinian territory, Golan territory, without delay, as well as dismantle part of the separation wall it built in the occupied West Bank. It clearly states that Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territory is illegal under international law. It also emphasized that the Palestinian people have the right to self-determination based on the UN Charter. The resolution reminded the world that the Palestinian issue is a permanent responsibility of the United Nations until resolved in accordance with international law, and emphasized the importance of Israel ending the occupation that began in 1967. Through the resolution, the UN urges countries to impose sanctions on those responsible for maintaining Israel's presence in the region and to stop arms exports to Israel if suspected of being used there. In addition, Israel is required to pay compensation to the Palestinians for the damage caused by its occupation. Countries are also asked to take steps to prevent trade or investment that maintains Israel's presence in the region. Furthermore, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is asked to submit a report on the implementation of the resolution within 3 months of the resolution being adopted. Just like the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice, the resolution is not legally binding. However, it still has high political weight. The support of 124 countries reflects the opinion of the international community, which can weaken support for Israel. The existence of 1-year deadline makes it more weighty in terms of international law. Hopefully, the resolution agreed upon by the majority of UN member states will be complied with by Israel according to the specified deadline, so that the prolonged conflict that brings suffering to the Palestinian people can be ended soon. That was today's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with September 20, 1946, when the first Cannes Film Festival held. The Cannes Film Festival is an annual international film festival held in Cannes, France. It showcased new films of all genres, including documentaries from around the world. First held on September 20, 1946, the festival was conducted at the Palais des Festivals et des Congrès. At that time, the French government approved the revival of the Festival de Cannes as a means to attract tourists back to the French Riviera after World War II. The Cannes Festival is one of the three largest film festivals in the world, along with the Venice Film Festival in Italy and the Berlin International Film Festival in Germany. Let's move it on to September 20, 2004, when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Yusuf Kalla win the first presidential and vice presidential direct election in Indonesia. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was elected as the sixth president of the Republic of Indonesia, paired with Yusuf Kalla, a businessman and politician, in the 2004 general election. At that time, Indonesia held direct presidential and vice presidential election for the first time. Yusuf Kalla became the 10th vice president of the Republic of Indonesia. Both of them were officially elected as President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia for 2004-2009 in the second round of the presidential election on September 20, 2004. In the election, the pair won around 60% of the votes. I'll end today in history with September 20, 2017. When Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. On September 20, 2017, Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico, then a U.S. territory in the Caribbean, with about 3 million people. Hurricane Maria was a Category 5 hurricane in the Atlantic Ocean, the highest category with the most destructive impacts. It killed nearly 3,000 people and cost more than $90 billion in damage. It was the 10th strongest Atlantic hurricane ever recorded.
Thank you. Dear listeners and viewers of Radio Republic Indonesia, I am Lila Korsai, Ambassador of Hungary to Indonesia. Allow me to wish Radio Republic Indonesia happy birthday. RRI consistently plays as radio diplomacy to bridge public conversations between nations and cultures. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Secretary General of the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs, Ali Ramdhani, said that Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Kumas is currently in Europe to strengthen halal certification cooperation. Quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Ali Ramdhani in his statement said that Minister Yakut Holil is now in Europe with a number of agenda, including attending the signing of a mutual recognition agreement regarding mutual recognition of halal certificates between the Ministry of Religious Affairs and foreign halal institution in Italy. Ramdhani also explained that this effort is a mandate of the law in the context of implementing the mandatory halal certification policy on October 17, 2024. There are three groups of products that must be halal certified along with the end of the first stage, namely food and beverage products, raw materials, food additives, and auxiliary materials for food and beverage products, and slaughtered products and slaughtering services. At a limited meeting on May 15, 2024, attended by a number of ministers of the Indonesian Cabinet Forward, the government decided to postpone the implementation of the halal certification obligation specifically for food and beverage products of micro and small businesses. Meanwhile, the gradual implementation of this policy is extended from October 2024 to October 2026. This is a form of government support for micro and small business actors. With this postponement, the business actors are given the opportunity to take care of the business identification number and apply for halal certification until October 2026. Ramdhani also said that the activity takes place from September 18 to 20, 2024. According to Ramdhani, from Italy, Minister Yakut Holil will continue his working visit to France. Ramdhani also said that the minister is carrying out the mandate from President Joko Widodo to attend the 38th International Meeting for Peace, which is organized by French President Emmanuel Macron. This event is scheduled to be held on September 22, 2024.
Today must be tomorrow. If not today, must be. These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be.
Must be. conversation. Toast for everything that's grown. It has been beautiful. The best things in life won't fade away. The best things in life are felt.
These are the better days. If not today,
I am Belmiro José Malata, Mozambican ambassador to Indonesia. It's my pleasure to wish Radio Republic Indonesia a happy 79th birthday. Radio Republic Indonesia is Indonesia's public broadcasting radio that continuously serves as a unifying and a diplomatic medium through its informative, educative, and entertaining program. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Thank you very much. Makasih.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Banggai Island Regency in central Sulawesi can be a tourism destination for those of you who love beach tourism. The Regency, in the form of island, is rich in charming natural charm, particularly the wonderful coast. If you want to relax while snorkeling and diving activities, you have to visit Poganda Beach to explore. It is located in the hamlet of Poganda, North Bulagi, Banggai Island Regency, Central Sulawesi. Poganda Beach can be accessed for approximately 2 hours by driving from downtown of Banggai Island Regency, or about 2.5 hours from Luwuk by sea. To enter this beach, you have to pay an entrance ticket for 3,000 rupiah. Entering this beach, you can see the beauty of white sand and clear water. This beach has relatively calm waves, so it is safe for swimming. To see the beauty of the sea, you can snorkel and dive. You can also see the fish from the small pier, as well as the activities of the people who are fishing around this beach. Poganda Beach also has a beautiful sunrise and sunset panorama. Please don't miss the beauty of the sunrise and sunset at this beach. There are bamboo and coconut leaf roofed buildings along the beach There are also several swings on the beach that can be used as photo spots. Poganda Beach is also equipped with bathrooms, parking lots, and restaurants.
Rasa itu tak mungkin lagi kini tersimpan di hati bahwa aku pulang rindu bersamamu. Dan lalu tempat
Dear listeners and viewers of RRI Indonesia, I offer my heartfelt felicitations to RRI on its birthday. I am Amir Khurram Rathor, Ambassador of Pakistan to Indonesia. The role of RRI is very, very critical and important because it is not just a radio. It acts as a bridge between peoples of various countries, and I am very happy to again offer my warmest felicitations to RRI because it has served as a bridge between peoples and cultures of various nations and regions. So once again, happy birthday.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Time magazine that included the name E. Aminuddin Aziz as one of the 100 most influential people in Artificial Intelligence 2024. Time wrote that the head of the National Agency for Language Development and Cultivation for the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology played a role in efforts to preserve or revitalize more than 700 regional languages in Indonesia. The man born in Ciamis, West Java 57 years ago is considered an influential figure in spearheading the regional language revitalization program launched as part of the 17th episode of Merdeka Belajar in February 2022. Starting from the extinction of regional languages, Aminuddin was moved to take real steps to save the existence of regional languages. What he did was document physically through reading books, grammar, dictionaries, and so on, both in printed and digital form. He created a corpus containing a collection of language data from manuscripts and other documentation, as well as spoken language in regional languages which are arranged in a big data. Therefore, the language agency spearheads four initiative projects to revitalize regional languages. Listener, the first project is the Language Vitality Study to see the level of vitality of a language mapped through the number of speakers and how the regional language is utilized. Second, the Language Map in Indonesia, which is intended to obtain information on the geographical distribution of languages, dialects, and sub-dialects. Third, AI can also be used for language translation. Fourth, the Language Agency will pioneer regional language competency testing with AI support. Like the Indonesian Language Proficiency Test, which has a written test, this language competency test can be done through AI support. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners and viewers of RRI, Voice of Indonesia, I am Luis Tsuboyama, Peruvian Ambassador to Indonesia. Allow me to wish Radio Republic Indonesia a happy birthday. RRI consistently plays as radio diplomacy to bridge public conversations between nations and cultures. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listeners. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment where we play diverse tunes from across Indonesia. Today, I'm going to play a regional pop song that's currently viral, especially on TikTok. It is called Musare Sare, a work by Kenebah Endatu and sung by Safira Amalia. It was first released by 41 Project Official's YouTube channel on December 18, 2021, and the song has garnered nearly 8 million views to date. Musare Sare is an Acehnese song carrying a powerful message about togetherness and cooperations, or called Gotong Royong. The lyrics portray the daily lives of the Acehnese people, especially how the farmers and fishermen collaborate to complete their daily activity. With a catchy melody and meaningful lyrics, Musare Sare successfully blends traditional values into a modern pop song that resonates today. Musare Sare's lyrics depict how farmers plant rice and pound it using a traditional wooden tool called lesung, followed by the rhythm of tick boom, accompanying each movement. Lines like Jekunu Rakan Lon, Tapula Pade, and Mebek Pajo Lebre Nanggro Lua encourage us to work hard with joy and gratitude for the blessings given by the God. Musare Sare is not only a pleasant song to listen to, but also a reminder of the importance of working together to achieve shared prosperity. Now let's enjoy listening to Musare Sare by Safira Amalia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Thank you.
terjadi sehati, ada juga yang mengingkari. Kadang datang gelombang pasang, menghantam dari belakang. Siap sakit hati, tenang seperti karang.
Buka yang lebar semua ventilasi, biarkan hidup ini bersirkulasi. Karena teman yang datang pastikan pergi. Jadi hati-hati kalau pakai hati. Makanya ketika kita berhadapan, jangan paksakan yang mana sebelah kanan. Goyangin aja sekarang pom pom pom, nikmati ayunan gelombang pom pom. Goyangin aja sekarang pom pom. Sekarang pom pom pom.
Waktu gak punya waktu, gak banyak pilihan buat mencari kawan seperasaan. Kebanyakan teori yang dikonsumsi.
Selesaikan aja dengan jogetan. Goyangin aja sebarang pom pom pom. Goyangin aja sebarang pom.
Hi listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.